Good morning. My name is Sean Bland. I'm a research associate at the Finway Institute. The title of my presentation is History of Incarceration and HIV STD Risk Among Black Men Who Have Sex with Men in Massachusetts. In this study, it's a joint collaboration between the Justice Resource Institute, the Multicultural AIDS Coalition, or MAC, in Boston, and then also the Finway Institute. And it's a study funded by the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. So I just want to start by acknowledging the presentation collaborators, so Dr. Matthew Mimiaga and Sari Reisner at Finway and Harvard, Kevin Cranston, Deborah Eisenberg, and Maura Driscoll at the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. And Dr. Ken Mayer at Finway and Brown, so I hope that's a little clearer. So just some background, black men and women are more likely to be infected by HIV and STDs in the U.S. Compared to other racial or ethnic groups, as we all know. These racial disparities are particularly significant among men who have sex with men, who continue to bear a disproportionate HIV and STD burden. The differences in infection rate, studies are beginning to suggest, aren't explained simply by behavioral risk factors. So we really need to kind of account for other factors that may be influencing these kind of these disparities. One possible explanation, the role of incarceration really hasn't been looked at sufficiently in the research literature. And so that's what we're going to look at today. So why would we want to look at incarceration? Well, there is like considerable circumstantial evidence that would suggest that incarceration is something that's influencing HIV and STD risk. So first, black men are 6 times more likely than whites to be in jail or prison, and 32% of all men in federal or state prisons are black. Secondly, HIV is more prevalent among incarcerated populations than in the general population. And third, high levels of sexual risk behavior, including sex with men and substance use, have been documented prior to, during, and also after incarceration. In terms of the relationship between incarceration and HIV STD risk, a few studies have specifically explored incarceration among men who have sex with men. So just based on two studies that I found, it seems like about a quarter of men who have sex with men have had like a lifetime history of incarceration. And one of the problems with at least the number is that there's not like a standard operationalization of incarceration in studies. So I guess in general, most studies ask about any incarceration, so either jail or prison, for any period of time. So that could be being in holding for like a day, a few days, to having had years in a prison setting. And so that's something that really needs to be changed, and something that we kind of deal with a little bit in this study. Also, little is known about that relationship between incarceration history and HIV risk in MSM specifically. The studies that are out there have shown that incarceration is associated with having a non-gay identity, so maybe identifying as bisexual or heterosexual or other, and then also with HIV prevalence. So in this study, the specific aim was to investigate factors associated with the history of incarceration among black MSM in Massachusetts. So first, we really wanted to quantify the frequency of incarceration in this population, and then to kind of examine factors that are associated with having been in either jail or prison for 90 or more days during the most recent incarceration. And we chose 90 or more days, kind of consulting criminal justice sources that seemed to suggest that a 3-month cutoff would be sufficient to kind of distinguish between kind of minor offenses, so maybe having been in holding or for whatever offense, from more kind of serious misdemeanors or even felony offenses. This slide outlines the methods. I'm not going to go over it in detail. We have published a few papers with this sample, so if you're interested, please feel free to contact me afterwards. And also feel free to ask questions. Essentially, we enrolled 192 participants in 2008 using modified respondent-driven sampling, so it's kind of a snowball sampling technique. And eligibility criteria was that individuals identify as black, also identify as male, be at least 18 years of age, be a Massachusetts resident, and have reported engaging in either oral or anal sex in the past year with another man. We asked questions on demographics, so age, education, health insurance, and sexual identity, questions on psychosocial issues, so substance abuse treatment, and of course incarceration, and also depression, so clinically significant depressive symptoms using the SES-D screener, and also social support and social isolation. We also had questions on sexual behavior, so unprotected anal and vaginal sex, substance use during sex, and then we asked questions about different partner types, so male partners, but also female and transgender partners, and then questions on STD history, HIV, and then also testing history as well. So again, the main outcome that we were looking at in this study was incarceration for 90 or more days during the most recent incarceration experience. And we kind of got at this asking two questions. So we asked every participant if they had ever spent time in jail or prison, even if for a short period of time. And if they answered yes to that, we asked how long they spent during their most recent incarceration. We analyzed the data using SAS statistical software, and we conducted bivariate and multivariable logistic regression procedures. So in terms of that primary outcome, What we found was that the majority of participants had reported a lifetime history of incarceration, so that's a pretty high prevalence, particularly compared to that quarter that other studies were suggesting among Black MSM now. So again, this is any period of time in jail. But 26% had spent 90 or more days in prison during their most recent incarceration experience. So these are kind of larger offenses that are being committed as well. So just in terms of a snapshot of the Black MSM specifically with incarceration histories, they had a mean age of 43, so they were kind of middle-aged. They reported male and female partners, so a mean of 7 male partners in the last year and 5 female partners. Although all the participants in the study had reported sex with a man in the last year, only 21% identified as gay, so the majority are identifying as either bisexual or heterosexual. 20% were not out about their MSM status, so not out to friends, family, or even healthcare providers. 23% were HIV infected, and almost half, so 44%, had a lifetime diagnosis of an STD. In terms of differences between individuals with incarceration histories and without incarceration histories, men who had been incarcerated were older, so they had a mean age of 43 compared to 37. Also, being on public health insurance was associated with incarceration, so 88% were publicly insured, and we kind of see that as a proxy for being socioeconomically disadvantaged. And then there's also a difference in sexual identity, so 79% identified as bisexual or heterosexual compared to just 43% among men who did not have an incarceration history. In terms of differences in sexual risk, men who had a history of STDs, who reported unprotected sex with female partners and also with trans partners, were more likely to have been incarcerated for 90 or more days during their most recent incarceration. So again, it's very much incarceration is very much associated with sexual risk. What's interesting is that we found that it was associated with, again, unprotected sex with female partners and with trans partners, but there wasn't a difference with male partners, and that's something we can also discuss a little bit more. In terms of substance use and psychosocial issues, substance abuse treatment was very high among the guys who had been incarcerated, so about 75% reported a history of substance abuse treatment. Also, injection drug use and depressive symptoms were associated with having been incarcerated. One kind of counterintuitive finding was related to kind of social support, social isolation. So men who screened positive for social isolation were actually less likely to have been incarcerated. And to me, that kind of suggests that kind of the quantity of one's social networks kind of matters a little bit less than like the quality of network. So these men may have resources, they may have friends, family, even social workers, but they might not be getting, I guess, the proper or kind of positive norms from their social networks. In our final multivariable model that adjusted for age and also for education, we found that the following factors were kind of uniquely associated with having been incarcerated. So having a bisexual or heterosexual identification, reporting a history of substance abuse treatment, and then also having a lifetime history of STDs. In summary, really incarceration experiences seem to be widespread among Black MSM in Massachusetts, and I'm sure some of these data may be mirrored in other states as well. So 51% reported a lifetime history of incarceration, and 26% of the sample had spent 90 or more days in jail or prison during their most recent incarceration. These findings suggest that Black MSM with incarceration histories may be at increased risk, so relative to other Black MSM for HIV and STD acquisition and transmission. And that we really need to start looking at the social context of risk, so not just behavioral risk, but other factors, things like incarceration, when trying to understand and explain racial disparities in HIV and also STDs. Some of the limitations, the study was cross-sectional, so again, we can't say anything about causality, and recruitment biases may have limited some of the generalizability of the study. One of the strengths is that this is one of the first, if not the first, study to document the association between incarceration history and STD diagnosis among an exclusively Black MSM sample. In terms of future directions, we definitely need more research and surveillance to collect incarceration data so that we can kind of look at these associations in a larger sense and have just larger cross-sectional studies and even longitudinal studies to really parse out what's happening. Is this a problem that's happening in the jail system? Is it happening after guys are released or post-released or even before? So there are a lot of risks that's happening prior to guys going into jail. One of the things that I just in terms of just kind of taking away something from the presentation is that I see HIV prevention with Black MSM really needing to address some key issues, and one of those is STD screening and treatment. So either having routine treatment and screening either in jail systems or post-release, so somehow following up with them, social workers, case managers, but really getting these guys the screening they need. So again, the difference that we found was that individuals with a history of STDs were 2.5 times more likely to have been in jail or been incarcerated for 90 or more days. So that's definitely a major finding. Also, we also need to offer treatment for substance abuse and also mental health services. So it's not just enough to look at STDs. We need to look at HIV. We need to look at the broader constellation of health risk that this population is kind of dealing with. We also need to have like a focus on kind of getting access to these comprehensive programs to all like currently and formerly incarcerated individuals, regardless of their sexual orientation. That meaning you can't have a program just for gay black men to get them STD screening, because that's not going to work. Again, like the majority of the sample didn't identify as gay. They're not going to go near that. So I think it's in terms of really making sure we get the upkeep that we want to get the guys who are tested who really need to be tested, having programs for all incarcerated individuals. And again, other state studies not on MSM have suggested that there's definitely differential prevalence of HIV and STDs among incarcerated populations. And again, we need to focus on risk with all sexual partners, regardless of biological sex and sexual identity. So again, in this study, we found that there was a greater risk with female and trans partners, but not necessarily with male partners. And I think that, at least in terms of having to try to interpret the data, has a lot to do with kind of conceptions of black masculinity, which we can also talk a little bit about. There's some other studies that have suggested the same. And really, we need to embrace both individual level and structural level approaches in terms of HIV prevention with black men. And individual level approaches, that's kind of the other things on this slide. Structural level approaches are things like changing policies and laws to perhaps offer substance abuse treatment rather than incarceration for, say, minor drug offenses, the disproportionate number of which are, of the convicted individuals are black. But also offering kind of developing newer and better primary and secondary prevention, not just primary and secondary prevention for HIV and STDs, but also for incarceration. So finding ways in which we can either work within social networks that provide positive reinforcement, positive social norms to kind of prevent guys from being incarcerated or from being reincarcerated, and then also kind of dealing with a lot of the other issues, so the socioeconomic disadvantage, whether that's through education, promoting that within communities to prevent incarceration and the risks that kind of follow that. Again, thank you for listening. If you have any questions for either myself or Kwame, please. I don't have that number with me now, but we did have an extensive battery of just like substance use in the last year. In terms of the injection drug use over the lifetime, this is a lifetime question. I don't think we parsed out like specific drugs they were using. In terms of the last 12 like months, about 7% of the guys in the whole sample were using crystal methamphetamine. And I think the drugs of choice that were the most popular were crack and cocaine. And also marijuana, but that's not injectable. Yeah. Yes?
Have you thought of any ways to incentivize the HIV public awareness channels who are putting themselves to get them to get
through the issue? I don't know if it's something that you'd like to address.
This is for you.
To incentivize? I mean, I think that's a really great question. I think a lot of times it comes down to money. And whether or not there's like the money, the resources to kind of have kind of comprehensive testing for HIV or STDs in these settings. To me, I mean, I think if we incarcerate slightly less people, we'd have a little bit more money for really kind of getting these services out to guys. But it's definitely, I think, at least kind of going along with what Kwame is talking about, he's done a lot of work with like kind of cost effectiveness of programs, so he may be able to talk about it a little bit more. Yeah. Yes. In your city?
Oh, in our model?
I mean, I was just curious because I wanted to think about the other together,
but yeah, I mean, for screening, for the sake of screening, because chlamydia, I mean, majority of chlamydia cases are asymptomatic, it fits better in this kind of model because for gonorrhea, because it's most of the cases are symptomatic, most of them will get treatment anyway without the screening. So it fits better in this model to use a chlamydia, which is also more widespread in the society.
Question for John.
Yes.
You may have presented this, but did you
see differential rates of HIV testing among those incarcerated versus those before incarceration?
I'm giving a talk tomorrow on STD testing in this sample, and I don't remember the number right offhand. I have the paper with me that that's dealing with some of that, and I can get those numbers to you. I don't believe so. There was a difference with incarceration, though. Yes.
Did you have to ask for the people in the study if they were involved with commercial sex work? Is that one of the worst questions?
Yes, we did ask about kind of sex in exchange for drugs, other goods or services, and money. It was not associated with incarceration, either in the kind of bivariate or multivariable model. But we did ask that question, yes.
You mentioned that you anything on what services they received and kind of saw
I mean, we did ask questions about like seeking for HIV and STD testing services. None of them were kind of differential, like differences between kind of incarcerated individuals and non-incarcerated individuals. We also asked just about kind of just their engagement and access to healthcare. So whether or not they had primary care providers, had seen a healthcare provider in the last year, and whether or not they were having discussions with those providers about HIV and STDs. Again, there were no specific differences with respect to incarceration, but that is something that I think we're kind of looking at a little bit more, and kind of just seeing the kind of role of kind of being engaged in care, and particularly as it relates to getting tested for STDs. Yeah.